Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Modern Marvels. This is episode 13. My name is Marshall, and I'm your host. Today, joining me on the podcast, Matt Hicks, as always, is here. Say hello, Matt.
Hey there.
And also joining us on the show, Josh Peters.
What's going on, guys?
All right. Off to a good start already, I can tell. So today we're going to talk about the upcoming set, Khans of Tarkir. We're already pretty hyped. We said, you know, we were going to discuss this for the past 2 weeks now, and now we actually get to talk about it since all the spoilers are out. So let's just jump right to it. We're going to start with the mechanics first, and then we're going to talk about the cards that we think may see some modern play. So, and of course, not
shiny new things.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, just to preface this, and, you know, Josh, you know, Josh, you can just go ahead and say the way you feel.
right before we started this this recording, I mentioned, I'm pretty sure the only card that's going to see play in Modern from the set is Abzan Charm, and talking about the rest of them is kind of just optimistic, but
right.
It'll be fun. We'll have a good time. I think there's some interesting cards that might get your brewing minds going. So
I think it's,
I have no fear.
I think it's a little unfair that as the Modern podcast, every time we get a new set, it's like we just kind of look
we
at the set and we're like,
one card.
Meh. Yeah. And then the others is one card that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then everyone is in Standard Limited. It's like, oh my god, this card is so crazy OP. And like, eh, whatever. So, first, we're going to go ahead and start things off with the mechanics that they used in the set. A couple of them that are returning mechanics. So, and Mark Rosewater was very excited about this, as I'm sure the rest of the R&D team was as well. So, first up on the list, we have the Morph mechanic. So, actually, we don't really have... There's a few morph cards already in Modern. The list is pretty short, and they're kind of strange. Like, there's Zoetic Cavern. Matt, can you think of any?
Zoetic Chroma.
Yeah, Chroma.
Angel of Fury. You see some play in the Blink deck.
Yeah. But yeah, not a long list of morph. Actually, looking at our list of cards that we're going to discuss tonight, there are no morph cards in there, sadly. Which is disappointing to me, but anyway. So Morph, for those of you who don't know, Morph is the mechanic that it allows you to... So this is one that kind of trips a few people up. You can cast the creature as a face-down 2-2 with no abilities. It's just like a 2-2 creature, no name, no text, no mana cost, no nothing. And just a 2-2 face-down. Into play. Face down is the status of the permanent.
Printing these overlay tokens now that you can use to put on top of your
awesome. Yeah.
Face down cards. It's just like a weird meteor spirit thing.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Yeah, we can put the picture in the show notes, but yeah, that's they made a token for that, which is pretty cool. So, and of course, all the cards that with Morph, so any card that you can cast face down is a 2-2 for 3, you can flip up at any time, and at any time, we mean any time, that's when you can activate a mana ability, whenever you don't have, it doesn't use the stack, it just go. You flip it face up, and usually it has some sort of ability when you flip it face up, or, it's like a bigger body or something, you know. There's some sort of benefit usually associated with flipping it. So that's the morph mechanic for you. Again, we don't really have any morph cards on here, but it is a cool mechanic. And even though there's, you know, we're not going to discuss any morph cards particularly, I do think even still, morph has huge potential in Modern as it did back in Magic's history.
Yeah, it's definitely something you want to keep in mind. I mean, like, if you go to your local game store and you sit down for a game of Modern and someone plays a card face down, there's probably, you should probably have a frame of reference to start, you know, thinking about, you know, what might be the, what might be the secret that we have before us?
Probably in a chroma, but.
I mean, there's Brian Elemental. You can Pickles Lock people in Modern, so, like. and somebody's trying to do that, I mean, that's a thing.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough, fair enough. The other one, actually, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this earlier. There is a Void Mage Prodigy, I believe it is.
Yeah.
That's the morph creature when you turn to face up counter target spell.
There's like a bunch of random morphs from Future Sight, like Fusion.
Oh yeah, the only time it came back in modern legal sets would be in the Time Spiral block. So
yeah,
And like I said, they even had the morph land just to make things.
And
they
have the morph enchantment, Lumeth Redfield and stuff.
Anyway, like I said, not too much in this set that, you know, in terms of morph that really looks applicable in modern, but hey, it is a mechanic that it has previously done some things. So,
yep.
Matt, you want to go ahead and take the next mechanic?
Sure. So, Delve is a returning mechanic, and it has proven very powerful in the past. You get to help. We're going to use the new M15 Convoke language here. You get to exile cards from your graveyard to help you cast your spells.
I hate that. I hate that so much.
I know Marcel hates it.
They don't need that text. Anyway, continue.
Mostly the biggest Delve cards have been in the past, and I think they were only from Time Spiral block. It was Tombstalker. Which is like a 5/5 flyer, which you can cast for 2 black mana if you have enough cards in your graveyard. And then you also have Logic Knot's All Some Play, which is a counterspell. It's X blue blue.
Right. We actually mentioned Logic Knot, remember, a couple weeks ago in Guillaume Wafatapa's list. So.
Right.
Can y'all think of any more Delve cards I've seen?
I think those are the only two that actually matter. I know there was a couple more, but they weren't like. They were kind of more so limited cards than they were actually like constructed playable cards, if I remember correctly.
It could definitely be a very powerful mechanic in the right deck.
Like right.
If you have a dredge kind of deck where you're just putting all kinds of cards in your graveyard and helps you power out these powerful spells.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Delve and Logic Knot are like the two of 3 cards before Concept Arcade that have Delve on them. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's obviously two or three cards I've seen play.
Yeah, and there was a huge demand, or not demand, but there was like a lot of players had been asking Mark Rosewater and other, you know, developers, hey, are we gonna? They wanted to see more Delve, so I decided to bring it back. And here,
the third one is Death Rattle, and it's destroy target non-green creature. It can't be regenerated, which I'm not sure that's.
Like I said, it wasn't really
a
thing.
They printed a better version in this set, and we're not going to even talk about it. That's how bad that card is.
Yep.
All right. Josh, you want to take Outlast?
Oh, boy, Outlast. All right, so Outlast is a new set. It's a new mechanic for this set associated with the Abzan clan, the Junk clan. And it reads, let me see. A cost tap, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature, Outlast only as a sorcery. So you tap your creature, it gets a +1/+1 counter for a written cost. Most examples I'm seeing are usually like 1 white, but there's other ones that are they're a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
It's in green and white, so there's an Outlast for one and a green on a couple of these. I don't personally think very good mechanic in general, much less modern playable, but it's certainly interesting. Some of the cards like Herald of Anafenza that do something when you Outlast might, you know, you get some value, but not relevant.
The whole like sorcery speed thing is just like, ugh.
Yeah, why is this sorcery?
Like if it was instant speed, it would totally be viable in like a couple creatures at least, you know.
The way that they've explained Abzan is this clan that's supposed to be like building fortresses and they're very defensive and long game oriented. I feel like tapping out all of your creatures on your turret is not a way to be defensive.
During your upkeep, no less.
Yeah.
I
feel like having all your dudes tap because you wanted to put +1/+1 counters just gets you killed.
Right. But Yeah, so not really a whole lot of modern applicability there. Just way too slow. Now, you said it was overall pretty bad. I actually think for limited, this could be fairly viable. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, yeah, not for modern. Kind of a joke.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. We'll go ahead and take the next one. The next one is Prowess. Let me pull the reminder text here. All right, Prowess reads, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. Unless it's got infect on it as well, I don't really care.
Like it's pseudo storm. I mean, if you have a creature with prowess and you're kind of storming off and they don't have a blocker.
Right. And there is the one the guy with double strike,
the Dragonstyle Twins.
Yeah, Dragonstyle Twins, double strike, prowess.
It's a 3/3, but it costs 5. It costs way too much to do
anything. Yeah.
A bunch of little tiny kiln fiends.
Yeah, so
I do love kiln fiend, but
it's better than Outlast. I'll give it that. But yeah, like I said, unless it's got infect or exalted or something, I'm pretty.
Like Nivik Cyclops kind of does the same thing, better, and it doesn't see any play. So.
Yeah. Well, Nivik Cyclops does kind of like see like some. I want to say it does actually see some like really super fringe play in like the Kiln Fiend deck, but yeah. Actually, and you know what? Actually, there was a red guy. He was like a one drop with haste. What was his name? Yeah, Monastery Swift Spear, the human monk haste prowess.
Swift Spear.
So it could do go in like the Kiln Fiend sort of deck.
I actually really like this guy.
As like a backup. Anyway, so that's prowess again. Not a whole lot there. There's that one card, Monastery Swift Spear.
Swift Spear. Say that a couple times.
No. Swift Spear. No.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's the one card, if any, that would, with prowess, that would see modern play. Anyway, moving on. Matt, you want to take the last mechanic?
Sure. The last mechanic is Ferocious. And
we got one more after this raid.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
You didn't write it down.
I did not write it down.
Sorry.
Continue.
Ferocious, it's a sort of an additive to some spells where you cast a spell and does something, but if you have a creature in play with power 4 or greater, it makes the spell much better.
Better.
Yeah. Definitely a win more mechanic if you already have a creature power 4 or greater. And
if you already have a Tarmogoyf that's killing you, you're already winning anyway.
Exactly. So probably not modern playable. Feels like fringe standard card, maybe.
Yeah. There's a lot of 4 power creatures in standard, but yeah. Modern, it's like, yeah, if they have a Tarmogoyf on board, you already had to deal with that, or you're already ahead anyway, or something, so.
Yeah, I don't see too much ferocious
gameplay. There's actually just not that many ferocious cards. Like, there's like only. I mean, I feel like there's less than 10.
Hmm.
Which is weird. Anyway.
Moving on.
Oh, yes, the last one, which Marshall almost forgot, is the Mardu mechanic. Raid, which basically is an effect cards that give you an effect if you attack this turn. So for instance,
there's like Mardu Heart Piercer.
Yes, Mardu Heart Piercer. Raid, when Mardu Heart Piercer enters the battlefield, if you attack with a creature this turn, it deals 2 damage to target creature or player. So and there's all kinds of effects like that. I feel like the notable cards with Raid are like Wingmate Rock, which gives you, it's a 3/4 flying bird for 5 that gives you another 3/4 flying white bird creature token if you attack this turn. And then it says whenever it attacks, you gain 1 life for each attacking creature. So
yeah.
And it's also on a card we're going to talk about later, Blood-Soaked Champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like those kinds of this card, this mechanic.
It's an aggro mechanic for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's not bad. I feel like it rewards you for doing something that that cards in this kind of deck would already be doing anyway.
Yeah.
So
if you have throwaway creatures, you just send this 1/1 to his death and do this awesome thing.
Yeah. So I actually like Raid quite a bit. I think it's probably my favorite of the clan mechanics. So
yeah, I like. Oh, I'm a fan of Morphin Delve. But there's not a whole lot. They're old. I think that's why I'm kind of impartial to them, you know, because they're making a comeback and I'm kind of excited to see that. But it's like, you know, they're not new. They're not original. So, but anyway, so those are the mechanics for you guys. So again, Morph, Delve, and maybe a little bit of Raid. We'll see a little bit of those in Modern, hopefully. The other ones, not so much. They're for standard and limited purposes, I think. So, all right. And now we're going to go ahead and move on. We're going to talk about the cards, specifically by color, that we think are going to maybe find some play in Modern in one way or another. And some of them a little bit more obvious than others. Some of them, we could be totally wrong. It's pure speculation. So, don't get mad at us if we're wrong. Alright, so first up on the list we have End Hostilities. I'm going to go ahead and take that one. So End Hostilities, it's a sorcery, 3 colorless, double white, destroy all creatures and all permanents attached to creatures. The reason why we wanted to discuss this one mainly is because if you didn't already figure it out, this would wreck something like Boggles pretty hard. So... you know, Boggles, obviously, the goal of the deck is to play a dude with hexproof and then slam as many enchantments or auras on it as you can. And then a lot of them, you know, are like they're the Umbra or, the Totem Armor. So a lot of them, like, if the creature would be destroyed, like, say, by a Supreme Verdict, you would just destroy the totem armor that's attached to it and they just keep on killing you. Whereas this actually like handles it. So
it also kills your cranial platings,
right,
and your swords if you are playing a deck against a deck with swords.
Right. So, you know, it is against just those decks, you know, which is fairly narrow in Modern, but you know, still, like, you know, you suspect Boggles in your meta, or, you know, even Affinity, of course, you wouldn't want to have a Wrath against Affinity, period. This is a solid choice. It's one more than the other one, but I think, you know, definitely worthy of a sideboard slot, in my opinion.
Yeah, certainly.
It might be good against the Xur deck, too, that...
The Xur the Enchanter, yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't see a ton of play, but yeah, that is a deck that you could use it against.
Yeah.
So, so that one we just kind of wanted to definitely throw out there as like a sideboard playable option, yeah. So, other than that, I mean, you already have less or more efficient wrath effects, so it's outclassed by those. But this one has a slight benefit to it, so. Alrighty, Matt, you want to take the next one for us?
Yeah, the next one I'm really excited about is called Clever Impersonator, and it is a upgrade to Clone. It costs 2 and 2 blue, and basically you get to put it becomes a copy of any permanent on the field. So you can make your own Planeswalkers if you're falling behind against Urzatron. They already have a Karn out.
Well, I'll have a Karn too.
You exile their Karn.
I like that a lot.
There's several plays that it's definitely good.
This card is really good.
I agree.
I'm more excited about it for EDH purposes or that kind
right,
of
thing. Yeah.
I don't know what kind of deck would want Clever Impersonator.
Well, definitely, I mean, probably control, like, you know, for the exact reason that you had mentioned. I mean, of course, you don't want to get behind, but, you know, there's a lot of times where they just, like, have a Liliana or, you know. I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot of better, you know, Cryptic Command is in that same slot, so it's hard to beat out, you know, cards like Cryptic Command for that, but I don't know. I think it's definitely
like that card's just got an inordinate amount of upside. I feel like if there would ever be a clone effect other than Phyrexian Metamorph that saw play in Modern, it would be this one.
Yeah, that is basically what it boils down to. So maybe a thing for like Pod or.
Yeah, if you wanted to play blue, the five color Pod deck is still pretty viable. And that's something you can Pod into. It's actually really good in that deck. You can make another Pod if you need another Pod. You can make.
God. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, well, that's what the Metamorph did.
Yeah, the Metamorph already did that itself. But
this one's at your four slot, so, like, you could
Pod into Metamorph. Metamorph
and then Pod into. Yeah, it's actually.
Metamorph was Phyrexian mana. That's why you mistook it for three.
Right. I always think of that as a two drop.
But you could have it, as Matt said, come into play as a copy of, like, a.
Of anything, right? So, that card's pretty strong in that deck.
On a judge note, or as a judge. There's some pretty, they explored some dangerous design space with this one. I could see some really, really wonky shenanigans, rulings, questions coming out of this, but of course that has nothing to do with Modern playability. It's just something to be aware of, I guess.
What do you, like, do you, for example?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but.
But this is just a card that gives you an ache in the pit of your stomach, really.
Right.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to answer some problem with this card.
Right.
I hear that.
All right, Josh.
All right, the next one is mine. Dig Through Time. Dig Through Time is a blue instant, six blue, and don't let that scare you. I know that's a lot. It has delve. Which, like we said, it lets you exile cards in your graveyard to help you cast your spell.
Yeah.
Look at the top seven cards of your library. Put two of them into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in the order. This card is interesting. I guess.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. What do you think about this instead of Sphinx's Revelation in some decks?
I feel like Sphinx's Revelation is.
Yeah, I don't think
probably that's... already is always better.
I don't think that's the switch.
No, I feel like this is a replacement for like maybe one of your Peer Through Depths.
I don't know, because Peer Through Depths already you can cast Peer Through Depths on turn two, or on turn six or turn seven.
Right. I mean, this card is just like
This digs a lot.
Right.
Yeah, it gets you two combos.
And that's the thing. It's like with Sphinx's Revelation, sometimes it's just like, oh, I'll Sphinx's Rev for four. And you draw four lands, and you're like, well.
This guarantees you pretty much two of your combo pieces, I feel like. Yeah. Or at least one. Like.
Right.
I feel like this is a combo card. That's why I can't really see this in a control deck. It's like a late game, like, find your finisher.
But I think it would be, like I said, if anything, it would kind of maybe take the slot of a Sphinx's Revelation. Simply because I think it could be a little bit, I think you could cast it sooner than you could a Sphinx's Rev for what you would get value.
Well, I feel like you already want to play white in a control deck, at least in Modern.
Yeah, that's fair. And so, it has nothing to do with the colors, it's just.
So Sphinx's Rev is kind of just.
Yeah, I was thinking more of this card in a Storm Shell instead of Pyromancer's Ascension, because you're going to be getting rid of your cards, or not Pyromancer's Ascension, instead of,
I was going to say, really?
Instead of, Passing Flames.
Passing Flames? Okay. Ooh, it's hard to beat Passing Flames. It's hard to beat the Ogmoth's Will for one extra mana with Flashback. But, yeah, I'd be hard-pressed to see it.
I could actually see it in like in that Pyromancer deck though. Like, it kind of makes your Passing Flames worse.
Right.
But
that's what I'm saying.
Well, he's saying you would replace the Passing Flames.
Think if you had Pyromancer Ascension online, and then you cast this card.
Yeah, you get four cards.
It's top seven.
They're probably a bunch of lightning bolts, and you kill them. Yeah, I mean.
I don't know. I think you could play it in Storm, but I don't think it would replace Passing Flames, if anything. But the problem is it is a non-bow with Pass and Flame, so you can't really do it that. But I do like the, maybe some implication, maybe Twin. Instead of playing like Cryptic Command, you could play something like this to get your, make sure you assemble a combo.
Escape Shift, maybe? I don't know.
Or Escape Shift, you could, any sort of like one or two card combo.
I mean, this card's very good because it's an instant. Although it's just like,
but you can only do it like once, and only at like after
where you have like four cards in your yard, and then this is just a four cost, like maybe do nothing. I don't.
Well, you had to keep in consideration how often spells are cast and things are put in the graveyard in Modern. It's like Tarmogoyf is good for that very exact reason. Tarmogoyf is a little bit different because it goes by card types.
This is also a non-bow with our friend Goyf.
Right.
But it's good against your opponent's Goyf, maybe.
Yeah. That's important to keep in mind. Anyway, we spend quite a bit of time on this card, so we'll leave it to rest here, and we'll let the.
I don't think this card is going to see play, guys. But okay.
Hey. I want to believe.
Okay. I'll let you believe, Modern. I'll let you believe, Marshall.
Yeah.
Second Breakfast was a deck, and no one thought any of those cards were playable until someone broke it.
This is true.
Right.
So.
All right. Moving on to the next card. Disdainful Strike. Or Stroke. Excuse me. Instant counter-target spell with converted mana cost 4 or greater. Sorry, is that one on the list? So, Disdainful Stroke. It is an instant 1 colorless, 1 blue counter-target spell with converted mana cost 4 or greater. So, at first glance, like we had discussed before the podcast, it's like, there's not a lot of spells in Modern that are relevant that cost 4 or greater. The majority of Modern is played on the 3 or less curve. But, Matt, you had said, works really, really well against a deck like Tron.
Yeah, it might be a sideboard option.
Right.
For Tron, or for, like gifts.
Yeah. Our Splinter Twin. This is really easy to Snapcaster into.
Ooh, I mean, it does hit twin, doesn't it?
Yeah. I kind of like this as like the silver bullet singleton.
Yeah.
In a control deck.
Couple on the side if you think you may need it.
Right. I like it. Not like, you know, put my money on or anything, but hey, this is a card that does relevant things.
Yeah. So I mean, it counters everything against Tron, unless they're the Emrakul version.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just done anyway, if they're at 15.
Okay, so that's Disdainful Strike for you. Moving right along.
Yeah, and the next card we're going to talk about is I think the last blue card on our list, or mono blue, is Treasure Cruise, which is another delve spell. It costs 7 and a blue. It's a sorcery. You delve, and you can draw 3 cards. And you basically get to do it once, then all your other treasure cruises are terrible.
Right.
It's a special recall once, and then you're done.
But, like, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. I mean, you can only play one Ancestral Recall in Vintage, so playing one in Modern is kind of, you know...
Yeah. But, and here's the hugest application is, like, how does it interact with Dredge? Could we see some more of this, like, making Dredge a little bit more viable? I mean, honestly, I think it's still a little bit too slow, but, you know...
It's a step in the right direction.
It could do some things. I mean, I'm not the one, who has a good idea in my head of how well Dredge would work with something like this, but to Dredge 3, or to Dredge 3 times with this card seems kind of silly.
Yeah, it kind of is a explosive play in Dredge, and while there isn't really a Dredge deck right now, mostly because we don't have Dredge Return,
or Grave Troll.
I feel like this is what that strategy kind of needs to get rolling again. Wizards throwing a couple bones. I'm not sure that they thought about Dredge when they were designing this card, but like, I feel like this kind of does everything that Dredge wants. It gets rid of the chaff that you've thrown into your yard,
right,
and lets you dredge an enormous amount. So like,
I mean, let's say you have the most ideal dredge where you have 3 stinkweed imps, you would dredge 15.
Yeah,
that's nasty. You're gonna die to Vengevine pretty quickly after that.
Well, then you get to cast your second treasure cruise for one blue.
Exactly.
And then dredge.
And then just
like I said, this is why that would be why it's viable.
Fireworks.
Yeah.
It's a cruise.
We're
on the dredge cruise.
Yeah. This card reminded me of something like a Mario Party.
A Mario Party minigame, like.
Run the Mario Party treasure cruise.
I feel like this card in the context of a dredge deck is actually pretty insane. Yeah. Outside of the context of a dredge deck, this card is not very good.
Not great. I might play it in limited, but.
Oh, yeah, I'll play this in limited. I'll Ancestral Recall in limited. It'll be great. You'll do it once.
Just once, but that's all you need.
That's all you need.
For the value. All right, moving on. Do I have the next one? Am I up? Or no, I'm sorry. I'm the next Josh, one. You're up.
Josh, nice. Oh boy, am I excited about this one. This one is a favorite of mine, so I'm glad I get the chance to talk about it. Bloodsoaked Champion is a 1-drop 2/1 in black. It is a creature human warrior. It's a rare. Bloodsoaked Champion can't block. And he has a raid ability for 1 black, return 1 and a black, 1 colorless and a black. Return Bloodsoaked Champion from your graveyard to the battlefield. Activate this ability only if you attacked with a creature this turn.
Yeah.
And has some pretty intimidating flavor text. But mostly I get excited about this card because I'm a white weenie player, flip through and through.
Savannah
and,
Lions.
I'm all about me some Savannah Lions. We've been seeing a lot of these cards sort of come about in black with like Tormented Hero and Diagraph Ghoul and
Rakdos, all the zombies
all those guys. So I like seeing a riff on sort of like this type of card, and this particular one is absolutely insane with Falcon Wrath Aristocrat, and I personally want to make a red black aggro deck in Modern with those two, and some blood gas and some lightning bolts and some dark confidants. It'd be great.
Yeah.
And, it'll be great.
Like I mentioned earlier, there actually is a couple of even just like mono black aggro lists going around simply because there is a critical mass now of 1-drop 2/1s in black. So. And not only that, but you have things like Bad Moon, which is like all black creatures get +1/+1, and you can add Bob for a card draw. Bob is, in my opinion, the best in an aggro deck like that, because it's, you know, in a lot of the other decks we see it in, it's just kind of that lightning rod in the early game. But in an aggro deck like this, it's like they're already behind, trying to like keep up with all your, you know, 2/1 for 1s. And then you stick, you know, you play a Bob, and they're like, oh, now I'm just going to draw him extra cards, and now I'm just going to fall even farther behind. Yep. So this goes great along with that.
Unfortunately, two of the cards that are great against that strategy, Pyroclasm and Anger of the Gods, are seeing a lot of Modern play.
Right.
That's the only hamper on that strategy.
And,
I know.
Don't tell them.
And even Electrolyze. Sorry, you didn't mean to say electrolyzed.
I mean, this guy particularly is pretty good. He does not care. He comes right back.
Anger of the Gods.
Like they go to bolt they go to terminate or bolt your Falcon Wrath Aristocrat. You sag this guy, pay 2, get him back. So
deal with it.
So good.
Yeah.
This man is this. I'm on the Bloodsoaked Champion train.
Woo woo! All right. So, any more thoughts on Bloodsoaked Champion, or do we want to move on?
No, I think
we covered it all.
Okay.
Fanboy.
Yeah, it's just Josh being a fanboy. No, I mean, there's not much more else to say, though, really. I mean, it's 2/1 for 1. With gravy. All right, moving on. Next one is going to be Sarkhan Vol, Dragon Speaker. All right, Sarkhan the Dragon Speaker. It's a Planeswalker 3 colorless double red mythic rare. until end of turn, I'm sorry, the first ability plus one, until end of turn, Sarkhan the Dragon Speaker becomes a legendary 4/4 red dragon creature with flying, indestructible, and haste. He doesn't lose loyalty while he's not a planeswalker. -3, Sarkhan the Dragon Speaker deals 4 damage to target creature. Just target creature, I'm afraid. Still pretty decent, though. -6, you get an emblem with, at the beginning of your draw step, draw 2 additional cards, and at beginning of your end step, discard your hand. So before we actually discuss the modern implication of this card, which honestly there isn't a whole lot of, we did want to like at least mention it, because it's a planeswalker, you gotta mention it at least, right? But Matt and I, you know, we were both discussing, we love the flavor of this card with the -6 ability. So for those of you who are familiar with the card, Form of the Dragon, it is essentially Form of the Dragon in essence, and we love that little ability. So the -6 ability isn't like, you know, it isn't as game winning as some other planeswalker ultimates, but like for Matt and I, that I think that yeah, we think it's cool. So
I can appreciate the flavor. I am not on board with the ability.
Right.
I've had a couple that's understandable. Try to convince me that this ability is okay, but honestly, at the point that you're ulting him, you're killing them with a 4/4 flying indestructible dragon. Why don't you continue killing them with the flying 4/4 indestructible dragon? Like,
but that's right. That's not what makes this planeswalker playable. Yeah. Not that -6 ability. However, you never know. There could be a situation where you want it. I'm not going to try to sell you on it, though, so.
I mean, it's in the same slot as Thunderbolt Hellkite and Stormbreath Dragon.
Right.
But unlike
the other, or so the, you know, Gideon, for example, the biggest thing was he didn't have haste when you activated Gideon's ability that turned him into a creature. This guy really is like a straight up, his ability grants him haste, so.
Right.
I'm sorry, continue, Matt, before I so rudely interrupted you.
Sorry. I mean, you know, the problem with Sarkhan is he just gets chum blocked by Lingering Souls all day long, and the other two dragons don't have that problem.
Yeah, sad day.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Very
true.
Stormbreath Dragon can't get path. Thundermaul is 1 extra power and toughness, so they both have their pluses over Sarkhan.
Right.
Sarkhan is a planeswalker, so he's a little harder to get rid of, just in general terms.
Right, because so it's like if they don't have a path on hand at the time you activate them, I mean, usually if they do, they'll hold it.
Something they can't do anything about him.
Right.
On their turn, they can't Liliana him away.
Or Supreme Verdict, or
yeah. So there's definitely pluses to him. I just don't know if there'll be a deck for him.
Right.
Kind of interesting in the Domri deck where you can fight. Post combat, and he's an indestructible 4/4 dragon.
Didn't think about that.
So might be okay.
Might be okay.
Also has removal built in, so that's something to think about.
Yeah, might as well be -3 Sarkhan the Dragon Speaker, Ace's target Tarmogoyf.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you're targeting not a 4/5 by
yeah,
five,
right. Yeah. Trouble. Which it probably will be, honestly, but it'll ace a lot of things in Modern that are relevant. Restoration Angel, Deceiver Exarch, you know. So,
yeah.
But I do think as far as like a deck that you might see this in, you know, you could see this in like you said, like a Domri Raid deck or like a big mid-range Zoo sort of deck. Also something maybe like Skred Red. Like a mono red, definitely not like burn, because it's not a lightning bolt, so but yeah, like I said, maybe something like Skred Red. I think Skred Red kind of leans more towards Koth, but
I feel like you could show up in a control deck that didn't want to play white, because I feel like if you're playing white, you're probably playing Gideon Jura, where you would play this guy.
Good point.
Jura is probably a little bit better than like a Grixis control deck. Maybe it's like a sort of like a board stabilizing presence, like a sort of like Grixis Super Friends might be a thing.
Chandra's pretty good at that, though. The good Chandra.
This is true. But I don't know. That's what came to mind
for me. Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Moving right along. What, Matt, you want to take the next card?
Yeah. So, the next card is very different.
Giant growth.
It's a card in the realm of, like, giant growth or Phyto... What's that? Phyto...
Phyto Burst?
Phyto Burst.
Something like that?
It's called Become Immense. It is a... I'm getting all the dull cards here today. it's a 5-mana green cost instant. It gives your creature +6/+6. And it has dealt. I don't know if it has... I mean, the only deck that would possibly play it would be Infect.
Right.
And the 1 and 2 cost punt spells they have already are probably good enough. I don't see any point we will have that much in your graveyard where you can delve.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, if you already had that much in your graveyard and they're not already, like, close to dead, probably not going to make a difference.
If you gave it Trample or Protection or any of that, it might be okay, but it's just as it stands, a 6-6.
Right.
Maybe one or two green doesn't really cut it, I don't think.
But this with something like, and this makes some of our more fringe or some of our more Johnny players, this is kind of exciting because, like, you know, you can go ham with like a Kiln Fiend and something like this, or 6-6 is a lot. Like,
it is a lot. Yeah.
And the fact that you can essentially make it, you know, one green makes it. Makes the potential for it to be pretty silly. But, yeah, overall, I think probably not going to make a cut in any sort of deck.
I mean, it's not going to replace Vines of Asswood or...
Right. Just a cool spell we wanted to point out.
The next one is mine, and it's another card I'm very excited about. See the Unwritten is a teamer card. It is a 6-cost green sorcery for a green and 4 colorless. It says, reveal the top 8 cards of your library. You may put a creature card from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest into your graveyard. And it has a ferocious keyworded ability. If you control a creature with power 4 or greater, you may put 2 creatures on the battlefield instead of 1. So it's a nice little amalgamation of summoning trap and tooth and nail.
Yeah.
And it is another kind of card that speaks to my heart. I'll probably end up playing this card in EDH, definitely. It's got some great art, which I can certainly appreciate. In Modern, people have been summoning trapping,
I like just how you said that, like...
Summoning trapping, Primeval Titans and
Imrakuls and other shenanigans.
All that good stuff, so this is another... Another card for that deck, which I feel like that the summoning trap through the breach deck is actually pretty good. So,
yeah, unfortunately, this is a sorcery where a summoning trap you can do instant speed at the end of your turn.
True,
just kill them.
Hey, but this is one more card.
This is summoning
trap. Summoning trap is 7. This is 8. So,
and if you're less chance of a big guy, you'll get 2 big guys.
Yeah, if you're already winning, you'll win even harder. I will say, you know, it is the benefit to summoning trap also, like, the, you know, as a trap card, it has the sharply reduced cost. So, like, if summoning trap, I believe, is if you had a creature spell countered this turn, you can play summoning trap for free, which is, like, ludicrous. But of course, most of those, you know, oftentimes they're not going to counter any sort of creature you play because all the creatures you play cost more than summoning trap. So but I remember that was definitely relevant when summoning trap was in standard. However, I think, yeah, like, it could just, like, straight up be summoning trap 5-8. Could potentially make it the new summoning trap. We'll see.
Yeah, like, if you want to do mono green instead of green red, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, we will see. I think, honestly, like I said, if anything, it would just either replace summoning trap or be more summoning traps in the deck. But, all right, I'm going to go ahead and take the next card, which is Abzan Ascendancy. We're moving already. Abzan Ascendancy, it is white, 1 white, 1 black, 1 green, enchantment. When Abzan Ascendancy enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. When a non-token creature you control dies, put a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying onto the battlefield. So for the longest time, you know, a couple of people from the forums, they kind of discussed like a build of like junk tokens. And this just points even more towards that. I don't know if it'll make that viable still, but hey, this is something that would definitely do that.
I like this card a reasonable amount. I mean, I can't really, I don't know if this card like blows my mind, but I agree with you. Like, I think they would make tokens deck pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. And I was saying before, this kind of goes in the same territory as Gaudian Township, where you kind of just massing up your team.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. This card, I feel like, has the potential to be a little bit underwhelming. Like, if you have...
Yeah, because it's not like, it doesn't, like...
If you have four tokens or something, three or four tokens, sure, you get +1/+1 counters on all of them.
It's like, wouldn't you rather just make more tokens?
Yeah, the clause, the non-token clause on the second half of the card makes it so that, like, if you're on the token plan, and that's...
If those tokens dies, then yeah, they don't then, like, you benefit
have,
from
you
that.
You have a one-time... Get +1/+1 counters on an enchantment where you could have been just making more tokens. So, like, I don't know. Like,
I think just Zal's Persecution is just better.
Yeah, agree.
This one.
I agree.
So, if you want to go that strategy, just go with Zal's Persecution.
So, yeah, definitely one of the cards where, hey, we hash it out and not so great. But that's, all, like I said, all the more valuable information for you guys, you listeners, so you don't have to actually try it. So moving right along, we got Abzan Charm. Matt, you want
to
read this one off?
And somehow I got lined up to get like four charms in a row, which is fine. I like talking about charms. Cause charms are exciting. I mean, this is the last of the...
All the three charms. And we already have the two color charms as well. So who knows, maybe we'll see the...
And
the
some four
color charms, dare I say it.
Yeah.
So Abzan Charm, obviously they're going to be like the Alara charms, where they're one of each of those colors. The Abzan is green, white, and black. Its first ability is you exile a creature with power 3 or greater. Its second ability, which I'm most excited about, is you get the Night's Whisper, which you draw two cards. It pays 2 life at instant speed, which is real good. And then the last ability, 2+1/+1 counters, the divide out you choose among your creatures. I just think the modal part of this card is real strong. You can hold it as your opponent's Tarmogoyf is going to grow above 3. You just hold it until it gets there and exile it. The exile part is real relevant. Some creatures are hard to deal with. Some, like, you just exile something indestructible, or it's just very versatile. And then,
right,
like, in the late game, if you get it and you want a Night's Whisper it away, that's good too.
And it's all, this is all at instant speed, mind you. So,
yeah, the fact that this is an instant is just like ludicrous. This card is so
You can blow someone out in combat with the +1/+1 counters, you can draw extra cards at the end of your opponent's turn. Or you can just straight up exile something. Exile a relevant creature. Because anything with power 3 or greater is pretty relevant, obviously.
Yeah.
So, plus, unlike the downside to, like, Path to Exile, they don't get the land. You just get just straight up gone, sucka.
Yeah.
It ain't coming back.
I mean, 3 or greater hits most everything that you hear about.
Right. So, all around A+, pretty much, in my book. Mm.
Yeah, I feel like this, like I said at the very beginning of the podcast, I feel like this card has the highest chance to be seeing main board play in Modern pretty much immediately. It just does everything.
Like, maybe not. I don't know. Where do you think it would, like, where would it fit in a junk deck? Would it replace Maelstrom Pulse?
Or? That's the thing. And actually, yeah, I'd probably take out, I'd probably take out my Singleton Maelstrom Pulse for this, or even take out like Kill Spell. So maybe take out I don't know, I'm trying to think.
It's just, I mean, like, this card does so much.
It's power packed.
It does it fast. Like, it's a combat trick. It draws you cards. It's removal. It, like...
Now, the mana cost is pretty demanding, of course, but, you know, when...
I mean,
with
we're
the charm,
playing...
I mean, you
we're
know.
Playing Constructed.
Yeah.
We're playing Constructed. We have Fixing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not...
You got,
it's just like...
You got another fetch land for your junk deck.
Right. Like, yeah, no. Like, don't give me that excuse. Like, you have so many fetches now. You have 10 fetches to work with in Modern. Let's get our junk on going on turn 3 every game. Like...
Yeah.
This card is really real. I can't say enough about Absinthe Charm.
All
the charms really are very, very good.
As much as we'd like to gush about Absinthe Charm forever, let's go ahead and move to the next card.
Let's see. That one's me. Altar of the Brood. Okay, I don't remember this
actually,
card.
Actually, Matt, you want to take this one? So this was...
Yeah, I'll talk about
this.
Yeah.
This is Matt's like, card.
Yeah, like, I just kind of mentioned it. It could be an interesting combo piece and something
right.
someone creates. Whenever it's a one-cost artifact, whenever a permanent enters the battlefield under your control, you get to mill somebody one. There's several combos that I can see happening in Legacy, definitely. It probably hasn't been fleshed out in Modern yet, but it's kind of like
one of those Johnny cards, Johnny.
Like, you know, when they spoil Mindcrank, people were trying to figure that one out for a while, and they kind of figured it out. This is the same kind of card, I think, where if you can figure out how to put it, you know, even if you're just putting something into play and bouncing something back into your hand and putting it back into play, maybe like Infinite Ornithopters or something like that. I don't know. I'm sure someone can figure it out, but then you just mill
it. It might be a 6-card combo, but hey, that's what you want to do, then that's cool.
Yeah, so get your brewing on. See if you can break this one.
Indeed. All right.
Flying 5/4 Demon. The main glitter on this card comes from his second ability. Sacrifice another creature, Butcher the Horde, gains your choice of Vigilance, Lifelink, or Haste until the end of turn. And, oh boy, you can play this guy on turn 4, sack a random 1/1, have a hasty 5/4 flyer
before. So I think you, honestly, the only card that works with this really well in Modern would be Lingering Souls. But that's a fantastic card, so
yeah,
totally doable. I'm
happy to play Lingering Souls. I don't know about you guys.
Exactly.
Or if you have some kind of Gravecrawler thing going on, you may be able to get some that going.
Yeah.
I feel like this guy is just pretty good.
Or we, like you had mentioned earlier, the Blood...
The Blood Soak Champion.
Yeah, Blood Soak Champion.
Yeah, it's great with Blood Soak Champion. Very similar effect to the Vulcan Wrath Aristocrat effect. Vigilance, Lifelink, Haste. You can, I mean, like...
Those are all super relevant.
These are all super relevant.
And the 4 toughness doesn't die a lightning bolt.
The 4 toughness is probably the most relevant.
Right.
He doesn't get bolted. You can sacrifice dudes on their turn to give them lifelink when you block. You can give him Vigilance. You can sack 2 dudes when you play him, give him Vigilance and Haste so that he could stay back as Walker anyway.
Yeah.
Now,
of course,
he's super versatile.
But, you know, when you mention that, it's like you're putting yourself behind 2 bodies to use that ability. So,
unless you're Lingering Souls and it's
right.
half a card.
To keep in mind. Like, you know, it isn't, these abilities aren't just. You know, it's not all pure upside. You are paying for them.
Yeah, sacrificing a creature is not a small cost, but
right.
there is a lot of upside.
But it's a lot less of a cost when you're playing with Lingering Souls.
Yeah, I mean, you want to build your deck with that in mind. I mean, you want to be sacrificing things and not... You don't want it to, like... You're not going to be sacrificing, like, creatures that are already killing them.
Right,
you're
yeah.
like, so,
not
like,
going to sacrifice your Tarmogoyf to this.
I think Doom Traveler is a good card with this card
Ooh,
as well.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I feel like this fits in like an Aristocrat's shell pretty instantly. So
yeah.
And even in, I mean, it is color intensive, but like we've been saying before, there's a lot of fixing.
Constructed. It'll be fine.
Yeah. The only problem I have with that logic is we're now talking about red, white, black, and those colors aren't really like that's like there are bug decks and junk decks, and like that's kind of people are more accustomed to playing those three colors and together. The Kalia colors are not, there isn't like a well known like mid-range control.
There's a lot of hashing out to do for that. Yeah, I agree.
There's a lot of learning to happen that needs to.
But that's good because then, who knows, we'll see more of it and that's good for the format. So
Yep. So yeah, moving on.
I got the next card. Jeskai Charm. I'm glad I get to talk about one of the charms. I think I took all match charms.
That's fine.
So Jeskai Charm, it is one of the other charms in the cycle that Matt had already mentioned. Instant speed. It is one blue, one red, and one white. And it's a modal spell. Choose one. Put target creature on top of its owner's library. Jeskai Charm deals 4 damage to target opponent. Or creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain lifelink until end of turn. So, sadly, it doesn't really, the biggest deck in blue, white, and red would be blue, white, red control. And then immediately, one of the modes is already kind of meh in that deck, since they don't really play a lot of creatures. But the other two abilities, I could see those getting some use even in that
it's
deck.
It's pretty much Azorius Charm and Boros Charm put together.
Yeah.
It's the first two abilities.
But of course, the Blue Red Control is not trying to play Boros Charm sort of cards. So
I mean, I feel like I would not mind Snapcastering this card.
Yeah. Like, the creature on top is pretty good. Azorius Charm, they have to be attacking or blocking. But just, putting the creature on top, they're drawing the same creature they already played. And then Snapcastering it again, they're going the same creature again.
Yeah, like, they're just not doing anything.
That seems all right.
And even for, like, the Submerge effect where they go to crack a fetch and you're like, oops, it's gone.
Yeah, get them. And even, like, sometimes, like, I think I mentioned this on the first podcast you guys had me on. I have seen more Modern games end with bulky Snapcaster Bullet Shoes.
It's a fancy burn deck, man.
Yeah, like, just... Yeah, like, I know it's a lot of mana at this point, but, like, fouring them and then Snapcastering and fouring them, that's 8 damage off of one card.
and Lightning Helix is probably...
So, like, I mean, I'm not saying that we're gonna be playing American Burn or anything, but, like...
But, hey!
That's a thing.
And not only that, but you could totally do this in, like, a Delver deck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a huge tempo play. Like, screw playing Geist of Saint Trash. I'll just, like... Clock Wait, people with this thing.
Delver off this.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ooh. Ugh. That's actually really
You're
good.
Right. That's that. If you heard it from us, this makes Blue Red Delver viable again.
And it gives your Delvers lifelink.
And they doesn't save them from Lightning Bolt, sadly. But.
Yeah. Wait. No, it does not save them from Lightning Bolt. No. Ooh, man.
If it did. Well, good lord.
It's +1/+1. +1/+1 on lifelink, so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like in a blue red Delver deck, like I said, if you're playing more creatures, and not only that, you're already on the aggro plan, that's actually, this seems actually
it's
pretty
a
good.
It's a huge tempo play, it gets things out of the way so Delvers come in. Yeah, no,
or pointing at their head. Like,
yeah, this is such a Delver card.
Yeah.
Or if it's the Delver Young Pyromancer card, might not be bad either.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I think
you heard it here, folks.
Yeah. We go.
I'm taking credit for this.
Young Pyromancer, make a guy, put your creature on top.
Mm. Yeah. On that note, Matt, you got the next card.
Yeah, and it is another Jeskai card. Maybe not the best card for Modern, but I'm going to go ahead and
want to mention it.
It's, it's blue, red, white casting cost. It is called Mantis Rider. It's a human monk with flying, vigilance, and haste, and it's a 3/3. Sort of a Sky Knight Legionnaire with vigilance.
Right.
Um,
or as other people have said, it's a mini Lightning Angel.
It kind of is a mini lightning angel, yeah, with one less toughness. So it can be bolted. Kung
Fu right.
Panda, the lightning angel.
But
so that's the huge mega downside is the
yeah. But there may be a deck like a Jeskai aggro deck or mid rangey deck.
Oh, you mean like Blue Red Delver?
Well, yeah. Well, no, more like a. I was thinking more of a Aether Vial kind of deck. Where you're getting like Sarah Ascendant, no, Sarah Avenger on turn two, and then or you know on two mana, and then Manus Rider on three mana. That's not a bad curve right there.
Yeah.
Oh, sure ain't.
Yeah. So of course the really only downside is just the lightning bolt thing. But who knows? Even if it is a concern, it could just be like a sideboard sort of deal where. You bring it again against decks that aren't playing Lightning Bolt, which aren't a lot of decks. There are a lot of decks playing Lightning Bolt, sadly, but there are some decks that don't. So, all right, Josh, you want to go ahead and take us to the next one?
Yeah, sure. All right, so the next one is Mardu Ascendancy. I get another Mardu card. I'm sensing a theme. whenever a non-token creature you control attacks. Put a 1/1 red goblin creature token onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. You can sacrifice Mardu Ascendancy to give all of your creatures +0/+3 until end of turn, which is odd, but it is a enchantment for red, white, black to give you some context there. But yeah, I don't quite understand the second clause of this card. It doesn't seem like
me something neither. That, it's like what?
Why are we giving our things toughness if we're attacking? It
doesn't even go with the flavor of Mardu. It's like
I'm a little confused. But
well, +3/+0 would be way too strong, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Probably. No.
Like, giant growthing everything. Oh yeah.
You have a bunch of like random tokens that you make with this card, then you just like overrun them all on one card. Yeah, no, that would be a little good, but like. +0/+3 is very odd.
Yeah.
I feel like that should be like the Abzan thing.
If this was an Abzan card, you could play it with what's the tree?
Doran. Doran.
Doran.
Yeah, Doran says all your creatures deal damage or all creatures deal damage.
And this yeah,
their power. So it basically would be a giant growth.
Yeah, I feel like this is totally like, this should be, we should take the, we should take the non-creature token you control dies from the Azan Ascendancy, put it on the Mardu Ascendancy, and move the sacrifice Mardu Ascendancy, put it on Azan Ascendancy.
So, and this is a thing you can do, you can swing for exactly 20, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry, it's not 20. With Doran, so you turn one Birds of Paradise into turn two Doran into Mardu Ascendancy on turn three, attack for what's that 8/+11/+ oh, I'm sorry, it's more because it'd be 16 total.
Wow, on turn three. This is a weird deck we're playing, but yeah it's I mean
3-color Doran.
No, well, four color Doran.
4-color, yeah.
Hey, I mean.
That's sick with Doran.
Doran's one of those cards that always hovers around. Like
it's just like one of those things that. Yeah. Anyway, outside Doran, I'm not gonna
completely.
Yeah.
And utterly useless, honestly. Yeah. I don't see this card seeing a lot.
There needs to be a Doran 5-8. It's a damn shame.
Another effect. Yeah, another card that lets you attack with toughness. I feel like it's a very unique effect that they're probably going to save for Doran, but I agree. Like, I like that. I think it's an interesting card.
Right. All right. I'll go ahead and take the next card. Also on that note, Mardu Charm, the next charm in the cycle. Again, it is an instant for one red, one white, one black. It's a modal spell. Choose one. Mardu Charm deals 4 damage to target creature. Put 2/1/1 white warrior creature tokens onto the battlefield. They gain first strike until end of turn. And the last one is target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-creature, non-land card from it. That player discards that card.
Instant speed.
Instant speed duress.
Certainly the best part of this card is the instant
speed. Son. Sick.
The instant speed flame slash, not terrible.
Yeah.
And the only reason the warrior part is on there is because there's a warrior sub theme in bronze. Right,
yeah. But that's still like, you know, you can.
All of these things are very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Silesnia Charm had the 2/2, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all play.
Well, Silesnia Charm was a 3/3, I think, actually.
Silesnia Charm was a 2/2 knight.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
3/3 at instant speed for 2 mana seems kind of silly.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, it's like the, you know, one thing that you may have already seen in Modern is like the on your draw step Funeral Charm play, where it's like if they're hellbent and they're top decking, they draw a card for turn and you immediately just Funeral Charm it and they discard it. Because Funeral Charm, also a modal spell, has a mode that's just target player discards a card. Now, of course, this one you get to choose, which is just also outstanding. And it costs more mana, of course, but, like, again, you know, if we see, like, we're moving on to this theme where, like, Mardu mid-range could be, like, could totally be viable. And, like, this would go in that sort of deck, I think.
I agree. I feel like this card does everything you want it to do. I also wanted to give a little shout-out to the way that they have Wizards chose to reword modal spells. I think the new Bullet, Choose One Bullet form is kind of a blessing. helps.
Yeah.
There's just an enormous amount of clarity there that wasn't there before. So,
right.
Yeah, the props to
Wizards for that.
Word wrap is kind of hard to read before.
Yep.
And even it, like things like Red Elemental Blast, for example, people don't even know, like, even experienced players don't even know that. Well, that's a modal spell, like, so anyway, so that's all we have to say about Mardu Charm. Looks pretty sweet, but we'll go ahead and move along.
The next card we're going to talk about is called Mind Swipe.
Yep.
It is a instant for X, blue, and red. You counter this spell. It's basically a syncopate and fireball in one spell. They have to pay X if the spell is countered, and you get the fireball in for X. It does X damage to them. Maybe not the best card.
But like in a Delver deck?
Yeah. In a Delver deck, it could be good in a late game in a American Control deck, where you just X
spell them burst on
them. Yeah. You spell burst them and do a whole bunch of damage, then yeah.
And then Snapcaster, flash it back. GG.
Yeah.
That's so annoying.
I don't know if this is a play. It's
it's definitely like fringe, but it is, you know, a lot of people hyped it up and hey, it could be a thing. It'll definitely be a thing that people try. And it'll like I agree with you, it'll probably fall by the wayside, but
yeah, because you probably just want a Sphinx Reb if you're doing anything.
Right, with X and the mana cost, right? So.
But it was worth a mention, I think.
Yeah, indeed. Honorable mention. All right, Josh, got the next card?
Yes, I do. The Khan of the Jeskai, Narset Enlightened Master. This guy is pretty spicy. Narset Enlightened Master is a 3 colorless, blue, red, white, legendary creature, human monk. He has first strike and hexproof, everyone's favorite evergreen.
Speak for yourself.
Keyword. whenever Narset Enlightened Master attacks, exile the top 4 cards of your library. Until the end of turn, you may cast non-creature spells exiled with Narset without paying their converted mana cost. And he is a 3/2. This card has a lot of scary combo potential, considering you're
everyone win the game potential period.
The top 4 cards they could hit with Narset. Like, I could, you know, my top 4 cards could be Omniscient, Center of the Infinite, Imrakul.
Right.
Well, you can't cast an Imrakul.
Yeah. But, like, you get what I'm saying.
But you can cast an Omniscience, which is basically the same thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, everyone can sit here and you know, just dream about crazy impossible
living the dream. That's what it's about,
insane,
man.
Insane things off of Narset. But like, in all honesty, like, this is a pretty insane combo engine. Even though he.
Well,
he,
I don't know.
I think it's a...
well, it. I feel like even though he or she is a 6-cost card, which is kind of in the realm of impossibility in modern, I feel like this card is pretty exciting. It could do some really powerful things.
Right, you could actually, it could be like this sort of like a through the breach sort of deal where just to win the game.
Yeah, like this has the potential of just completely winning a game for you. So
right. So yeah, you won't see it. You probably won't see it in like American Control or anything, but. Definitely, again, notable mention here. You could do some silly things with it.
Yeah, and I think the most notable is it does have hexproof, so you can, the turn after it comes into play, you can set up your next, you can set up your turn, maybe scry a few, maybe, I don't know, somehow find omniscience and put it on top.
Right.
And just go off that turn.
Another thing to note is it only has to be whenever it attacks. It doesn't have to connect, which is a huge...
And you don't even have to be scared of attacking because it has first strike.
Yeah. Well, if you first strike a Tormagoyf, it's still like going to make a difference.
Got him.
But it doesn't matter because that's not the goal. The goal is to get omniscience. Am I right?
Right. I mean, but Marshall, that writes is 3 damage.
Yeah.
You better win that turn, a little clever impersonator, your omniscience, and you'll...
Yeah. Oh.
Wait. Oh, God. See, this is what I was talking about.
A clever impersonator can impersonate an all-knowing enchantment.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
What in the... Oh, my God. All right. We'll go ahead and move on. All right. Let's see. Do I have the next card?
Yeah.
All right. Next card on our list is Siege Rhino. Siege Rhino, it is 1 colorless, 1 white, 1 black, 1 green. Creature Rhino with Trample. When Siege Rhino enters the battlefield, each opponent loses 3 life, and you gain 3 life. I wish it was kind of for each opponent you gain that much life.
Yeah.
And of course, in Constructed, that's not really what we're after here. Either way, you know, a lot of times you look at life gain, and it's like, usually life gain stuff is like pretty meh. But this is a 6-point life swing, you know, much like what made Gary a house in Theros Limited. And even in Theros Standard was like, when you played Gary, he was like, boom, that's like, I gain 8 life, you lose 8 life. Like, oftentimes a game ender. Of course, this, I mean, not a lot of times you're going to play this and kill them with it, but hey, you could do that. So, what are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I was saying before, like, if you're in a weird kind of junk deck where you're not in the control realm or the mid-range, maybe this into a Thragtusk kind of puts some people in a hard position to deal with all your stuff.
They can't lightning bolt this guy either, so.
Yeah. I mean, we say a 4-5 for 4 is above curve, but right now it's not really. They're just pushing creatures so hard.
Yeah.
We have like creatures like Polukranos.
You could just cast a Tormagoyf and he's just as big.
Yeah.
So, but the another thing is though, he does have Trample, which is really huge against, you know, within this sort of deck. That's like, if you're going to kind of go the mid-range route, a lot of times you run into the problem where like you can't push damage through because they have all these little, like, the board's all clogged up. But with the Trample, you nullify that. So,
I feel like this guy is the bread and butter kind of card that mid-range decks look for. Like, he is the guy that gums up your board, that lets you sort of get comfy in your mid-range shell and draw your powerful creatures.
You gonna get comfy.
Yeah, no.
He allows you to survive against aggro.
This guy is flannel pajama pants. Card. Like, he is... He puts you pajama pants. If you're behind, he gets the life, like the life differential, sort of back into parity. Or he puts you way ahead. He blocks profitably. He attacks while he's got trample. This guy is kind of the mid range dream.
Yeah, I mentioned playing Vampire Nighthawk before him, but Lingering Souls and Kitchen Pinks are also relevant three drops to play before him.
Yeah. It's totally a damn shame that Vampire Nighthawk doesn't see more play. Yeah. It is a damn shame. It's all because of Lightning Bolt. Screw you, Lightning Bolt. I hate you.
I don't hate Lightning Bolt.
It's... I don't know. Anyway.
It's a wonderful card. I don't know if you ever cast it. It feels real good.
I have cast it, and I happen to own a playset on the full R4 Lightning Bolt.
Every time I cast Lightning Bolt, I giggle a little bit.
All right, Matt, you want to take the
next card is the second Planeswalker in the set. It's Sorin, Psalm Visitor. He costs 2, a black and a white. So he is the second black and white Planeswalker, the other being
Sorin. The other Sorin, yeah.
Which they're sort of reverse Planeswalkers almost.
Yeah, as far as like design goes, this kind of made me mad.
He comes to play for loyalty. His +1 is until end of until your next turn. So this applies on your opponent's turn as well. Your creatures get +1/+0 and lifelink. His minus ability, his -2, you get a 2/2 flying black vampire. And then if you get to -6 him, your opponent gets a emblem where they have to sacrifice a creature at the beginning of their upkeep.
Which is, that's awesome.
Which is really great, yeah.
It's a really good ultimate.
The problem with this Sorin, which was the same problem with the other Sorin, with Sorin Lord of Innistrad, if you're not already ahead, he's just going to die immediately almost.
He does protect himself a bit, but yeah, it's tough.
If you're on the make vampire plan, you're basically paying 4 mana for 2/2 black vampire.
Right. And then they're just going to, like, lightning bolt your Sorin and then attack you with Celestial Colonnade.
You kind of have to be way ahead already to play this guy.
Kind of, yeah.
Sorin Lord of Innistrad at least made vampires to protect him on the turn he comes out without putting him in danger zone.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't think you'll see modern play.
No.
Maybe not bad in the token shell, but I just think Lord is probably better. Lord of Innistrad is probably better.
Agree.
Yep. Lord of Innistrad's his ultimate might be better as well, where he gets to destroy something and you gain control of it.
Right. So again, honorable mention, but probably not.
Probably not yet.
Josh, I'm gonna take this one. I'm really excited about.
Really? This one I'm not so excited about, but I can appreciate it, I guess. It's Soul Tie Ascendancy. Ascendancy number 4, I guess. How many have we talked about?
I think this is the third one.
Third one.
Because we did Abzan, Mardu, and Soul Tie.
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy is black, green, blue. Just like his companions, he's one of each of his clan's colors. He's an enchantment, and it says at the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top 2 cards of your library, put any number of them into your graveyard, and the rest back on top of your library in any order. This card is kind of along the lines of Miri's Guile, Sylvan Library. Obviously, you're not drawing cards with Soul Tie Ascendancy. So it's not direct card advantage, although it is pretty direct card quality.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what Modern needs right there.
It's card quality, yeah, for real.
Yeah, but it needs
card selection, excuse me.
Not 3.
I feel like this card actually could end up being pretty good with Counterbalance. It's pretty good with Graveyard strategies. Obviously, you're putting cards that you want in your yard, and you get to sort of decide what those are. And by sort of, I mean you do.
I mean, it's in the same slot as, I think, Thassa. Like, would you play Thassa, or would you want this card?
Yeah, I do think this is slightly better.
If you're in the graveyard strategy, it's definitely better, but
I feel like if you're just sort of any magic deck that isn't a graveyard deck, I think you want Thassa because she can be a 5/5 and she can make things
Blockable.
But, I mean, I like this card has a lot of interesting. There's, I feel like this card is gonna. We're gonna be finding new ways to play with this card for many months to come.
Yeah, I think it could be closer to like the Sylvan Library effect for Modern, in like a bug control deck. So I've kind of always wanted bug or Sultai to be a thing, and I think this could actually help it quite a bit. As well as the next card that we're getting ready to discuss. So it's like, you know, with the cards you put in your graveyard, you know, you can flash them back with Snapcaster Mage. But even more importantly, it really is just about the card selection. So even if it's like the two cards on top, you don't want either of those. You can just ship both of those to the graveyard, draw a fresh card for turn. As far as counterbalance is concerned, I want it to, but it's still just not. Not no. There for counterbalance, unfortunately.
It needs top so bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you do get to choose what's on the top.
Yes.
I mean, that is the most
important part. But you just get that one choice for the whole turn, and that's not really.
That's true.
So.
You got to have the reads. You got to have
the like, right.
No, it's kind of like a Chalice of the Void every turn. You get to choose. Are you going to cast the one spell this turn? No, you're not.
I guess that's okay, but I mean, even still, it's like probably not going to make it that viable.
Gotta have the sick reads, man.
Gotta have the sick reads.
Well, and like if you're playing the suite of black card hand disruption that most black decks are in Modern, I feel like you'll at least have a good idea of what's in their hand and what you can expect. So like
you can make a good choice, but that still doesn't mean
like informed decision making. But right. I feel like that there's, like I said, there's a lot of room for like discovery with this card. I feel like we're gonna like as new cards come out and as Modern grows, we're gonna find all kinds of sick ways to like take advantage of this.
Yeah,
and hopefully, eventually, we'll find a way to break counterbalance in Modern.
And you can play Thassa and this card in the same deck and kind of get both triggers, and that might be good. Also, Marshall, how do you feel about this card with Dark Confidant?
That's right. So true. If you stack the triggers correctly, you could totally save yourself some life on this. Not only are you getting good card selection, but, you know, with Bob in play, it's going to be, you know, essentially free cards. I mean, of course, realistically, a lot of times, like, you'll want two relevant cards, one of which will have a converted mana cost of more than zero. But
yeah,
that is a thing you can do. So
yeah, you put the Thassies on top, and
you can't do that with Sylvan Library either. Put the Batter Skull on the second card, and the Thassies on top.
Seems good.
All right, moving on. I have the honor of discussing Sultai Charm, or reading it at least. It is another instant charm in the cycle, one black, one green, one blue. Choose one, destroy target monocolored creature, destroy target artifact or enchantment, or draw two cards, then discard a card. So, I like it a lot. Like, it's, again, I mean, not the Knight's Whisper on Abzan Charm is pretty sweet, but this is also pretty sweet.
Yeah, sometimes the draw two and discard one is better.
It's Catalog, right?
Yes, Catalog is what they...
And Ultimate Price and Naturalize. So, I mean, all three are good cards, especially Instant Speed, with the choices.
Of course, the Destroy Target Artifact or Enchantment, that's always been like a sideboardable thing, but... You're gonna play it for the main board versatility of Ultimate Price or Catalog, but you get the added bonus of it being like a sideboard card in there as well. So when you sometimes do need you get the Blood Moon out of the way or Cranial Plating.
If they have a Blood Moon and you're casting Sultai Charm, you're doing something
different. you're fetching those basics. Well, no, you can. I mean, of course, you can float the mana in response to Blood Moon and then cast it, but. But yeah, it's pretty greedy, of course.
We're getting the birthing pod too, main deck.
Sometimes yeah. But yeah, there's all sorts of main deck answers or things for this to kill. So, honestly, like I said, this and like Sultai Ascendancy. Maybe not so much a Sultai Ascendancy, but hey, it could be a thing. But this in like a bug deck, like, seems really sweet. in my opinion.
I feel like all of these charms are just incredibly good.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Love it.
Well, this last one is Timur Charm. Not the best, maybe, but could be relevant sometimes. This best metal part, well, Timur is the rug one, so green, blue, and red. Yeah. Its best mode is the manually counter-target spell unless it's control of phase 3.
Right.
You can also give one of your creatures +1/+1, and it fights a creature you don't control. And then its last mode is creatures with power 3 or less can't block this turn. So sometimes you just alpha strike against a token deck or
kill them.
Maybe not. Probably not the best modes of the all the charms.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably the right. The
charms.
It's the Gruul charm of the of this cycle.
the Gruul charm.
Which is War disappointing to me because I feel like I was looking for it to work the most.
Well, I think they are in standard. They're really hyping this up a lot, and I agree with them. But however, I do also want to mention that Rug Delver is still a thing in Modern too.
True.
You don't see it a lot these days, but like having your Delver or having your Tarmogoyf just like ace, you know, one of their creatures and have it grow. Pretty awesome. And not only that, but it serves as another counter spell, which of course already fits into the Rug Delver game plan. You know, hard to find a room for it, but I would totally try it, you know. Seems definitely worth a shot.
Or sometimes maybe in the Tarmo Twin version as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Serves as counter spell backup. Maybe your Deceiver XR could kill something, who knows. Or even of course, like I said, we don't really talk about the last ability, but the last ability, I mean, it will get some games somewhere.
Yeah.
So, all right, moving on. Josh, you got the last one before we get to the lands here.
Yes, and it's a good end to our our card discussion here.
You want to meet the other end?
it would be the other end of
it's not even actually the end.
Yeah, no, we still have some lands to talk about, but we're getting close to the end of the podcast, so this is a good one to sort of wind things down with. Other End, if you haven't picked up on it yet, is a 2-colorless white black instant exile target non-land permanent. Woo.
Oh, all it does. Could have been Vindicate. Come on.
I wanted it to be Vindicate so bad.
That card reads very well.
Yeah.
But I feel like
the problem is
a little expensive.
Right. It's expensive.
I mean, is it though? I mean, do you think it is?
For the ability. Right. Yeah. It's like for the ability, it seems fair. But the problem is you look at things that you would want to exile. Things like Celestial Colonnade, Raging Ravine. Of course, those are the biggest issues here that doesn't hit. And you don't want to have a 4-mana card in your hand that doesn't, you know, just automatically like answer a man land.
Enough situations that Outer End is still a good card. I mean, I feel like
not really. Obvious, like, I mean, you see a lot of Celestial Colonnade beats in Modern.
For them.
Yeah, I feel like
hold your pass and slaughter packs for them.
It's. I think in no way is this card bad. Obviously, this card is very good. I don't how good is the.
It needed to have Delve. This was the spell. It needed to have Delve.
No.
Oh my god, that'd be silly.
How does it cost 8 in a white and a black?
I'm just dreaming. Sorry.
I mean, like this is
okay,
an instant.
I think the problem with this card is it's great, it's an instant and gets rid of anything. Is
but you had to hold up all that mana.
No, not just that, but this any deck that wants to play this card also plays Dark Confidant, and you don't want to pay 4 mana for this card.
Yeah,
it's or like, 4 life for this card.
It's not a Bloodbraid Elf.
like, I mean, I guess if you're playing Dismember, you're paying 4 life.
I'm really torn on this card, actually. Like, I can't tell if this card is good or not. It should be. By all rights, this card should be good.
I think it's too
will
costly.
It be good?
I don't think it's going to make the cut, but
I don't
think
know.
If it was Vindicated, it'd be okay. But
If it was Vindicate, yeah, I would play Vindicate, four of these in my deck.
Vindicate is so insane. Like, Vindicate is...
I don't even care if it costs four mana. I would like, totally...
Vindicate is the card
instant
that
speed, exile lands, just like...
Like, Vindicate's the card we always jokingly, like, compare other removal spells to. Well, it's not Vindicate. Clearly, this is, like... I mean, this is about as close to Vindicate as we've ever come without being Vindicate.
That's what makes me upset about it.
Like, this okay, and this is the same thing we're talking about, Abzan Charm. Like, you would get rid of your Maelstrom Pulse for this. Like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Is it worth it, though?
But then I'd have to get rid of an Abzan Charm for this. Because, like, think about it. Like, you know, the Abzan Charm would exile Celestial Colonnade. Whereas this, the only thing that Utter End gets that Abzan Charm doesn't get that's relevant is going to be like Planeswalkers, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, there's Heroes Downfall, which is not seeing any play in those decks.
Right, but it's like
Planeswalkers.
Right, so like Abrupt Decay already handles a lot of your permanents.
It also gets rid of Keranos. It gets rid of Birthing Pod.
Keranos is a good one to keep in mind.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of relevant things it gets rid of, but for four mana, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna take a couple cycles to see if it's good enough.
I mean,
definitely people trying it. I think
there's a lot of cards that are very similar to this card, like no one's playing Unmake.
That's the thing. It's like,
but Unmake is only creatures.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's triple white black, which is.
Yeah. But they're like, would you? Like I said, I'm torn. I don't know exactly how good this card's gonna be. I feel like it has the potential to be very good, but in all honesty, I can't. I'm not optimistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
We'll see.
All right. Finally, moving on to the last part. We're gonna talk about the Wedgelands real quick here. So. The Wedge Trilands, excuse me. So these were the lands that, these are at uncommon. They each come into play tapped, but they tap for three different colors. Not all at once, but you can choose to tap to add one of each color in that wedge. So
isn't that a Bloom Tender for free?
No. That'd be just,
oh my god, that card would be disgusting.
So this is, as Matt had mentioned before the podcast, that it's like a budget alternative. For those of you looking to build a mana base on a budget, works quite nicely in your wedge decks as a budget land. Which already kind of brings us to our next point. We do have the already highly anticipated, well, not highly anticipated, the highly sought after Onslaught Fetchlands coming back in cons, so.
Well, we can't say we didn't call it.
Yeah.
I don't think I was here when you guys discussed the actual spoiling of these, but,
No, I think that was Brian.
I can definitely say I'm excited to have them back, and I'm thankful that Wizards is sort of
so
letting
thankful.
Us have these.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of standing by what we said, where I think it's mostly going to help the blue decks get their islands. I don't know if it really changes, like makes more decks relevant than already is, but
helps your friend Nether Reliquary.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh my! Yeah, my band's getting happy. Like I can get rid of these burning catacombs.
Can I? I know, like everyone's super excited about fetches, but I'm gonna be that. Like I have. A big love for magic art and
me too. I love the new artwork too. It's
the artwork is great, especially on Flooded Strand. Flooded Strand is.
I want some shiny ones.
Oh,
I think they're already pre-ordering for like $100 though.
It's just stunning.
Yeah.
I also have a big love for the naming strategy that Wizard employs when they name magic cards, and I have a problem with our new Wedge Lands. Sandstep Citadel. Alright, now hear me out. The Vant Wedgeland is Seaside Citadel. Why do we have two Citadels?
Oh, man.
This 10-card cycle.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't notice that.
Can we not think of a new name?
It's just too many non-basic lands. I mean, they have the refuge lands in the set, too. They have to be all generic, too. So.
Yeah. I understand, but, like, I just kind of wish we would have...
They had to do was open the thesaurus and look
like,
up
something for Citadel. I can respect Bivouac. The fact that we're using Bivouac as a name here. Frontier Bivouac is the wedge, the rug wedge tri-land. Like, that's
wacky.
But, like, I do have a gripe here. We have two Citadels in this cycle. Wizards do better.
At least they're in separate sets. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
That's okay. All right, do we have anything else to add on the lands, or?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Guys, ready to call it a night? I know.
Yeah, go back and listen to Matt and Marshall and Brian talk about the wedge, the fetch lands, if you guys want to hear more about those.
It's more so entertaining than it was informative, but yeah, it is. I'd listen to it again. It was pretty funny. All right, so that pretty much, we're all out of time, really. We've rambled for,
exhausted.
Yeah,
we're doing. So much new.
Yeah, we're excited. Hopefully you guys are too. Again, we're not going to add a listener question to this because we've had quite a long discussion here. Instead of the listener question, please send us your feedback on the set. If there's any card that we didn't discuss that you think, you know, you might want to try out a modern related to similar to our last week's listener question, which we got a couple answers on. You know, some people said, actually a lot of people mentioned Abzan Charm. So, but anyway.
And if you've already broken Altar of the Brood, I'd be interested.
Maybe you think Murderous Cut is just this amazing card that we totally left out. Let us know.
Yep. All right. That wraps up the show tonight. Say goodnight, guys. And that's
it. Bye, everybody.
We're going to roll out.